good morning. You can't sit down yet. I need you all to stand up. I know. I just need a minute to take this in. This is my first time in the new house. It's pretty awesome, guys. This is pretty awesome. I'm walking around going, oh my goodness, that's a naked, and that's been a naked. Like, the style that she has is all, who says church can't be pretty, right? I mean, you are in the reality of a long-standing dream, and you're in the reality of years of faithfulness. And some of you know me, some of you don't, but I am family. I have been friends with your pastors for, I think, probably going on 17 to 18 years, maybe 20. Known them a long time. Known them before y'all knew them. I just want to say to you, they're gold. Like, I'm not just saying that because I'm here and that's a nice thing to say. I get to meet a lot of people and I get to be around a lot of leaders. And they are gold to their core. They are such good people and they are great leaders. And you're greatly blessed to have them as your pastors. We are honored to call them friends. And I made a commitment to these guys a long time ago. And over dinner last night, I made the commitment all over again. I felt like I was renewing my vows at dinner last night. And I looked at them both and I said, guys, you stuck with us. We're in this for life with you, whatever it looks like. Good days, bad days, hard times, joyous times. We're just, there's something God did in our hearts about you too. And so you're stuck with us. And, you know, when the rain came down this morning, it's every pastor's nightmare, right? When you have someone coming in to visit and you're like, oh, I don't know if the church are going to show up. It's raining. And I was like, guys, I'd come if there was three people. I'd come if there was two people. I'd come if there was just us. Like, when you're family, it doesn't matter. And I'm saying that to you today to let you know that I'm committed to y'all. Because if I'm committed to them, I'm committed to you. And I know that God has you here on purpose for purpose. And so I want to preach into the house today. Speak into your house, your marriages, your families, like a member of the family. And God's here. We sense his presence already. And when he's here on purpose. He's here to do something. And some of you didn't come for him to do something in your life today. You just came to attend church. And he's going to rock your world and go, I'm glad you're here, but I got you here because I need to slap you around a little bit with the word of God because there's some things I need to shake up in your life right now. So God, we thank you for your presence. God, we just thank you that you are a speaking God. God, there are some that are here today and they really, really need clarity. And God, I thank you that by your Spirit today, you're going to cut through the confusion and cut through the noise. And God, you're going to speak to them in a way that they know that was their word. And so I pray today, God, that every single one of us would have our ears open, our hearts open, drop our walls, surrender, so that Holy Spirit, you can do what you need to do. And I pray as always that I would get out of the way so that you have your way. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. You may take your seats. So I know the emphasis over this year, over the house this year, is that we are going to be rooted and established. Rooted and established. And so I want to add my voice to the many other voices that have spoken into you as a church family around that subject. I want to add another layer to help us become rooted and established because those two words don't happen by accident. You don't get rooted by accident and you don't get established by accident. They can only happen if you are very deliberate about things that you choose in life and very deliberate about some of the things that you say yes to and some of the things you say no to. And I want to help you today with the area of your life that maybe you have not considered or given enough thought to. But I want to talk to you about the area of your life that actually is the biggest area that changes your life. I want to help you today with something the Bible speaks a lot about, but oftentimes we don't give enough time and consideration today, because the truth is today that your life this year, your life in the years ahead, will be as rooted and established as you decide it to be, not with your feet, not with your hands, not even with your heart, but with your mind. Today I want to help you in the place where actually you're rooted and established will either begin or end. It's in your mind. If you can change your mind today, you can change your life. Your mind is navigating your life. Your mind is the navigational tool for your future. And so many of us need a message like today's message, because there's a lot of things on our mind and in our mind that are wrecking our future. And we're blaming circumstances, and we're blaming other people, and we're blaming relationships, and we're blaming all the things around us. But the truth is, the biggest enemy you need to fight is in your own head. The Bible tells us in Proverbs that in Proverbs 23, it says this: do not eat the food of a stingy man. Why? For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. So he's telling you to eat and drink, but all the time that he's telling you to eat and drink, he's begrudging the cost, because as he thinks, so he is. In other words, it doesn't matter what I say today. There's two preachers in the room right now. There's me that's trying to communicate to you, but as I'm speaking, there's what you are saying about what I am saying. And your version has way more power than my version, because that's your mind telling you what it will accept and what it will reject. Your mind right now is filtering what I'm saying through what you're feeling, through what you're experiencing, which is why you can be in a service week in, week out, hear the greatest messages, read the greatest truth, but walk out of here and make the dumbest choices. Because it's as you think, so you are. So you can act generous, and you can high-five someone, and you can say yay to the convoy of hope and helping people in poverty, and you can say, yes, Pastor, I want to give and I want to be generous, but you and your mind can be tight. Your wallet can have moths in it. You can be the person that never actually contributes, though you're saying it with your mind, with your mouth, in your mind, you are a stingy man. And so I want to help you today. I love that, stingy. Go. I want to help you today because your mind controls your thinking, your feeling, and your choosing. Guys, that's a big area of your life. Some of you are all over the place because your thinking is stinking. So your relationships are driven by your feelings. And your feelings are making poor choices because your mind is not in a place that the Bible says our mind can get to. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The word sound in that context, in the word, the original word in Greek, it's sozo. And that means to be disciplined, to be self-controlled, to be protected, to be safe and be secure. So it's saying that God has given you the power to have a mind that has self-control, discipline. It is secure and it is safe. And today I want to help take you on that journey of you working on your mind. For Isaiah 26 tells us that he will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on him. And some of you are not in perfect peace. You're in peace one moment and you're in dispeace the next. You're settled and rooted in one moment, then you're uprooting and out the door in another moment. You're established when things are good, and then you are not established when things are not good. You're in the relationship for keeps while it feels good, and then you're out of the relationship when it doesn't feel good, and you wonder why your life is not being established, and it's not taking on ground, and it's not maturing, and it's not getting to a place where there has some solidity to it. And I'm telling you, the reason is because in your mind, you are not rooted and you are definitely not established. I have been in church all my life, the same church all my life. Can I tell you, I have seen the good, the bad, the ugly. I have seen funky behavior and I have seen faithful behavior. I have seen the good of people and I have seen the bad of people, but I have gone nowhere. Why? Because I am rooted and established in my mind. That person leaving doesn't affect my rooting. What that person did doesn't affect my establishing in my mind. I am in perfect peace because my mind is fixed on him, not on her or her or him or him. And we live in a world that struggles in this area. We live in a world that is reactive. We live in a world that is exhausting because every 5 minutes someone has another opinion, and every 5 minutes someone's making another choice. And you turn on your news, and we're in a year of election, and we're in a year of all the strife politically, and your mind is under attack. And you need to understand, I have to take control back of this thing that God gave me so that my life does not end up being in reaction. Let me illustrate with my friends wherever they are. Let me get my friends up here. There we go. Here we are. Let me illustrate. Let me help you. Let me help you. See, the Bible tells us, one of you come here, one of you come there. Who's my picture? You? Awesome. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to live a certain way, right? The Bible's giving you a code book of how to live. It's trying to help your mind. And the Bible tells us stuff that the world would never get on board with. Without Jesus, how do you get on board with verses like in Matthew where it tells you, hey, if someone insults you, turn the other cheek? I mean, nothing in your natural makeup wants to say yes and amen to a verse like that. But what God's trying to help you see is you've got to choose what your mind is going to do when someone comes at you, when they attack you, when they betray you, when they don't say good things about you, when they put a comment on your social media that is nasty and not nice. You have an option. You don't have to retaliate. And what the enemy wants is that you spend your energy when things happen, things come at you like this. So a comment comes at you, and then an insult comes at you, and then a criticism comes at you. Now let me show you this. I didn't once tell him to catch those balls. Now, wherever he goes, so does the comment. Now, wherever he goes, when he goes home, he takes the offense with him. When he goes to the office, he takes the comment with him. When he's dealing with that relationship that's in his future, he brings the negativity of his old church into the future because the ball's still in his hand. And what God's trying to help you with in training your mind is that when the comment comes, you have a choice. Let it drop. Because listen, watch this. When the ball loses its player, it loses its power. Thank you, guys. And that's why you've got to understand that you've got to change your mind so you can change your life, because some of you are running around in life with these things in your hand, with these things in your mind, and you wonder why you're exhausted and you wonder why you're not rooted and established. It's because you've got a handful of things that the enemy has thrown in your direction and your mind has not been centered on Christ, so it's not stayed in perfect peace. So you've allowed the comment to become something you now carry in your pocket, and that's why it's affecting your marriage and your parenting and being in the house of God, because your mind is something that has collected the balls that the enemy has thrown at you. And the Bible's trying to tell us, no, it's as a man thinks, so he is. Not as a man catches the comment, so he is. Not as a man retaliates, so as you think, so you are. So I have a question for you today, and my first question is this. What's on your mind? What's on your mind? Because what's on your mind is navigating your life right now. What's on your mind? Maybe one of the saddest stories that we read in our Bible is the story of the children of Israel. Found in Exodus 6, we see that there's this exodus that God has said, I'm going to lead you out of captivity. This is good news, guys. And I'm going to take you into a future. I'm going to take you into a land beyond your wildest dreams. This is exactly what God says to them via his servant. In Exodus 6, he says, therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. And then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. Okay. There's a lot of I ams in there and I wills in there. But verse 9, here's their response. Moses said all of this to them, but they did not listen. Why? Because their discouragement was on their mind. They were discouraged about the harsh labor that they had been under. And so what was on their mind kept them in a place of slavery and captivity when God had just told them, I will and I am and this is going to change. But they never made it, guys, into what belonged to them, not because God wasn't able, not because God didn't say do it, not because God hadn't made a way. The only reason they did not make it into their future was because what was on their mind. And if you can't get Egypt off your mind, you will never step into Canaan. Guys, we're in a new building. Like God has given you this incredible home. And I don't know whether, you know, the move of the zip code and the extra bit of driving and the orientation of the building threw you off a little bit. But I'm telling you, there's a whole future to possess here. There's a whole move of God that's going on here. There's expansion that's happening here. God's like, I am and I will. And this is what we're going to do. And we're going to step out and we're going to expand. But you can't afford for any of your old thinking to keep you from what God has for your future. Like I'm just going to bring it right down to where this happens, because I don't want you to miss what I'm saying today. You definitely will go home and go, I don't know what she was saying. You're going to know exactly what I'm saying. You might not like it, but you're going to know exactly what I'm saying. Like it gets as crazy as this. Well, in the old building, you know, I had a seat I always sat in. You know, in the old kind of way we did church, I kind of knew everybody, and now I feel like it's not the same. Like now there's a lot of new people, and you know, I don't know if I feel as at home here. Come on. God's like, your mindset is about to derail your future. Like, I need you to get on the same page as my mindset. And my mindset is there's land to take. There's something to possess. There's a future to step into. But if you have your old way on your mind, you will never make it into the future that God has for you. Listen, some of you got terrible relationships, but you're staying with them because they're just familiar. And I just like those people. And I feel I'm supposed to be their friend. And they're really sweet. No, if they're not part of what God has called for your future, you're going to have to make some decisions about what you love more. What is on your mind? Because what is on your mind, it's like a menu. Like your mind is your menu. Like you're eating off the menu of your mind. So why do you have on your mind some dishes you don't even like? I don't get it. Why are you eating that offense when you don't like how it tastes? You don't like the person it came from? Nothing about it is good for you, but you've not taken it off the menu of your mind. So when you sit down and it's just you and it's time to dine, your soul and your spirit start to select off the menu of your mind. What's on your mind is navigating your life right now. And there's just some stuff you need to take off the menu. I'm not eating that anymore. I'm not going to have that as a choice anymore. I don't want to have that in the area of my mind anymore. And the children of Israel missed out on their future because they couldn't get Egypt off the menu of their mind. And it sounds so dumb and it sounds so obvious. But if millions of people can make this mistake, we ought not to sit here thinking that we're better than them. God wants you to step into everything he has for you, but you're going to have to decide what is on your mind. Not only did they have to ask the question, and we must ask the question, what's on our mind? But after you've asked the question, what's on your mind? You have to make the decision to now renew your mind. See, I've been through seasons of my life where maybe I've been hurt or maybe I've been offended, and I'll go, okay, well, you know, I'm over it, right? I'm over it. Like, or I've done something, I'm like, well, I'm sorry, and I'm over it. That's a good first step. But now, after you've done that, you have to now renew your mind and replace the old stuff with some new programming. And if you don't, this is what the Bible says is going to happen to you. Listen to this. It says in Matthew 12, when an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and doesn't find it. Then it says to itself, I will return to the house I left. And when it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, put in order. And then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself. And they go in and live there, and the final condition of that person is worse than the first. In other words, the Bible's saying, I'm glad you took something off the menu, but it's no good you just sweep the house clean, take it off the menu, and then leave it vacant. The enemy's just going to bide his time, realizing you didn't bother to renew your mind. He's going to come back in to your life, and he's going to sow another thought like the last thought, only this time it's going to bring seven friends with it, and you're going to be worse off the second time than you were the first time. That's why the Bible says you have to renew your mind. Romans 12, do not conform to the way of the world. Don't think like the way of the world. Instead, renew your mind. It says, we'll be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so all of us have to make a decision. When we remove something out of our life, what am I renewing in its place? The Bible says, one of the ways we begin to renew our mind is in 2 Corinthians 10. It tells us that we have to destroy arguments and every lofty opinion that is raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive. Some of you need to get busy. Come on, people. Like when that thought starts coming into the orbit of your life, you're like, you're out of here. I'm not a big American football fan. I don't even know why you call it football, because you don't use your feet, but that's okay. I'll just forgive you. We play real football where I come from. We actually use our feet. That's okay. But if you were watching your team, the Cowboys, if that's your team, if you're watching your team and the ball is coming into the zone from the other team and your defensive players were just stood around having a powwow, God, you feel like getting it today? I'm sure. You feel like getting it today? Feel like blocking it today? Do you feel like cutting off this potential hit into our side? No, I'm not really feeling it. It's okay, just let it fall. You'll be screaming at the television. What are you doing? Defend! Get the ball! Take the ball captive! We're going to lose a point! You'd be angry at them. Some of you need to get angry at yourself. Start saying to yourself, what are you doing? When that thought's coming in, grab a hold of it. Don't let it touch down. Take the thought captive. It does not belong here. Thoughts want to move into your mind. Just like that scripture I read you. But they're not moving in. They're not moving in a way that's going to bless you. If you went home today after service and you went up to your bedroom and there's some complete stranger in your bed eating food out of your refrigerator, flicking your remote control, changing your channels, would you just go, hey, no problem, bro. Make yourself at home. You'd be like, who in the world are you? Get out of my bed, put my sandwich down, leave my remote controller alone, and get out of here. So why do you let the squatter stay inside your head? Flicking the remote control of your mind. Oh, I'm rooted and established in the house of God. And then the squatter's like, yeah, but what about this? What about that? And what about this comment? And what about when this happened? And I heard this, and I heard that. And the squatter has got the remote control. And now where you wanted to be rooted and established, now you feel dispeace. Now you feel all confused. Why? Not because there's anything to feel dispeace or confusion about, but you allowed a squatter to take the remote control of your mind, and now you're watching channels that you did not choose. So you have to go and say, I'm done. I'm going to take this thought captive. And when you take the thought captive, there's another step the Bible tells us that we must do. And that's in Philippians 4, verse 8. It's really, the Bible's really helpful, guys. Like the Bible's like, I know you need help. I'm going to help you. I'm not just going to tell you how to take a thought captive. I'm going to tell you how to renew your mind. It's all in here. Philippians 4, verse 8 says this, finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, hello, not your mate's opinion, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is anything excellent, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. The Bible's letting you know, guys, this is not difficult. When that negative thought comes, you take it captive. And then you ask yourself, is this honorable? Is this lining up with the word of God? Is this excellent? Is this praiseworthy? Is this true? And if it is, I'm going to think on it continually. But if it isn't, it has no place here. See, some of your marriage is in trouble. You're blaming each other. You're like, you all, if you did this and if you did that and if you did, guys, it's just throwing balls at each other. Somebody has to go, you know what? We're done playing this game. The enemy is winning in our marriage. You know what? I'm going to let the ball drop because when the ball loses its play, it loses its power. And now I'm going to do something different. Now, when I have that thought that you're annoying or you're against me, let's just be real. I'm going to take the thought captive And now I'm going to ask myself, whatever is lovely, whatever is right, whatever is honorable, whatever is praiseworthy. You know, when Steve and I first got married, we've been together 32 years. And when we first got married, in our first years of marriage, everyone's like, oh, it's the honeymoon. I was like, I don't know what kind of honeymoon you all have, but this is not honeymoon. I'm like I want to return the product. I want my money back. This was a mistake, you know? I'm just being real. Like, because he was Prince Charming and then he was Shrek. And so, you know, it's like, don't worry, I was Fiona, so it's all good. It was on both our ends. But I remember an older, wiser couple saying, hey, when you get to that point where you're about to go at it, where you're about to argue, I just want you to do one thing for me. We're like, what's that? They're like, hold each other's hands. Guys, do you know how hard it is to argue with someone who's holding your hand? So annoying. I'm like looking at, But as you're holding hand, it's like, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is honorable. You know when I'm mad at the church? I take the hand of the church. Whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever right comes right with God's word, whatever is excellent, whatever is praiseworthy, I tell you, it changes what you say next. So you have to ask yourself what's on my mind, and then you have to renew your mind, and then finally, because time's gone, I want to say to some of you, it's time for some of you to make up your mind. James 1 verse 5 tells us that if we are a double-minded man, that we will be tossed by the waves of life, blown by the wind of life. And it says, for such a person ought not to think or expect they will receive anything at all from the Lord. For being a double-minded man makes you unstable and restless in all your ways. And I think for some of you this year, it's time to make your mind up. Like, are you in? Or are you out? Like, make your mind up. Not, well, I'll be in if X, Y, and Z happen. Because you have to make your mind up that you're going to be in whether X, Y, and Z happens or it never happens. When I said my vows to my husband, I remember saying words like, you know, in sickness and in health, for better or for worse. The vows were letting me know, hey, you better make your mind up. This is not conditional. And this whole series, this whole emphasis about being rooted and established, it challenges you to make your mind up. Some of you have never committed to a church for more than 3 months. This is your sixth church in the amount of years, 6 years. And you wonder why your marriage is not rooted and established. Your kids are not rooted and established. Your finances are not rooted and established because you're treating the church like the hokey pokey. You're in and you're out and you're shaking it all about. And the Bible says that God can't help someone that lives a life like that. Your tithe, it belongs in the house of the Lord. Make your mind up. Well, I don't know what my finances are going to look like. That can't be the reason why you decide whether you give to God or not. You make the decision, I'm giving to God, whether this happens or this happens. I've made up my mind. I'm putting myself in, whether I like it or I don't like it. I have made up my mind. Stop being a double-minded man. Stop being a double-minded woman and make up your mind. Because when you make up your mind, now you can begin to be rooted and established. The Bible tells us in Colossians 3, verse 1, it says this. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Your job, your pay packet, it's an earthly thing. Set your mind on things above. I honor God with my finances. I honor my family with my commitment. I honor my relationships by being all in. I have set my mind on things above. And today, I'm here to remind you, church, there's a great promise ahead for all of your lives. The great I am has said, I will. He has. I will bless you. I will prosper you. I will advance you. I will protect you. I will. He said it all. We have a book full of promises in that Bible of yours that I am has said, I will. But there's a condition. You have to decide that I'm all in. He's like, I will bless you, but I need you to tithe. I will grow you, but I need you to plant. I will help you, but I need you to be in community. I will free you, but I need you to work through your addiction. See, we want God to do his bit, but we don't want to do our bit.
Right. Right.
Rooted and established requires you to change your mind so you can change your life. So all across the house, just close your eyes right where you are. The presence of God is here. Because God, when he comes to challenge, he also comes to help us. And his spirit comes to enable us. And some of you today, this is a challenge. You know it's going to create decisions. There's going to have to be things you do. There's going to have to be things you drop. There's going to have to be things you say, I'm sorry about. But the Holy Spirit's here to remind you, I'm with you. Set your mind on things above. And across the house today, God, I'm just praying on every location for any whose marriages right now, families right now, any who right now feel like, I'm not really sure, I feel tossed by the wind and waves of circumstances. God, I pray today they would make a decision to set their mind on things above. I pray today that some things will come off the menu so, God, we can put the right things on the menu. God, I pray today for a renewing of minds, those that have become jaded or tired or critical or cynical. God, I pray today we would repent of a mind that does not reflect your mind. And today we would say, I'm getting that stuff off my mind, and I'm setting my mind on things above, on what is pure and what is lovely and what is holy and what is right. Oh God, I pray that we would get radical today. Pray that there would be some sorries in the house and some I forgive yous in the house. I pray there would be some repentance in the house, and I pray there would be some restoration in the house. I pray that people would go home today and there would be a different conversation around the kitchen table. I pray today there would be an atmosphere that shifts because, God, we have changed our mind. I pray over the one that's thinking about leaving, that, God, they would change their mind and they would say, God, I'm not going to anymore let my mind run around town. I'm going to center my mind on you and be rooted and established in you. And as eyes are closed, one final thing. If you're in the house today on any of the locations or online and you know you have not made your mind up about where you are with Christ, you are far from God right now. You decided that you would follow him years ago, but your life right now looks anything but like a follower of Jesus. God is here, and his grace is extended towards you. And today, it's time to make your mind up. Are you in? Is he your king? Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? Are you coming home? Make your mind up. It's all across the house. If you're saying right now, his eyes are closed, shout, that's me today. I need to make that commitment. Just lift your hand up right where you sat. Just say, you know what, God? I got to get this right. I need to make my mind up. I've been all over the place. So many hands. Just take that same hand and just stick it on your heart right now. God, you see every person that just responded. God, I thank you for their boldness and their courage and their vulnerability. And God, today I thank you that as they make a decision to put you first, as they say, God, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want your forgiveness. and I want to start again, God. I thank you that you already are extended your arms to them. Your grace is already covering them. And I pray today for salvation, and I pray for transformation as they change their mind today. They change their life, and they move from unbelief to belief, from lost to found, from Egypt to a promised future. And we give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.